The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We're very excited about today's episode.
It's a very long time coming, guys, this episode. It's something we've had in the back of our minds for a long time with the podcast, but for many, many years as wedding planners.
Yeah.
And so we're super excited about this. And we want to go straight into an email that we received from a listener, one of you. And she gave us the nudge, really, to say, okay, let's get serious about this. We got to do this, right?
Yes, it was the both inspiration and push that we needed, I think, and reminder, I think, of what people are dealing with when planning their weddings, and something we hadn't talked about. So the email was a great reminder. And then Michelle and I got together and we said, like, we have to get somebody on the podcast who can speak to this with us. And then Michelle had the great idea to have the listener read her email, which I think is really impactful. And that's what we're going to jump into now. Yes.
Yeah, I think it was important to hear her voice. And so let's do that now. This is Felicia Reed. And here is her email.
My name is Felicia Reed. Hello, Christy and Michelle. I proposed to my now fiancé, Carl, in November of last year. Fact, legitimately the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done after taking the bar. Your podcast has been such an immense help in our thinking and planning. I work with incarcerated kids around New York, which means hours of driving up, down, and across this massive-ass state. You ladies have been the best of companions on those drives and a source of much-needed laughter after tough days. We're having the wedding at the end of October, and your do you boo message, as well as the insight of your guests, has truly resonated in every facet. It's echoing in our venue in the heart of the Catskills, Spillion, where we love to hike, in my emerald velvet dress, in the way we're walking each other down the aisle. We're doing a small 55-person wedding, just close friends, family, good food, and a dance party. Something I wanted to run by you: the reality of exclusion and discrimination in the wedding industry. As I started planning and hitting up all the usual wedding websites, I couldn't help but notice the veritable dearth of brides of color as featured events or even featured thumbnails, particularly black brides, and I know we get married. Side note, I'm black, of Afro-Guyanese descent, Carl is white, a European world tour. From mainstream sites to venues to vendors, there's rarely, if anyone, that looks like me. At first I thought, hey, this is what happens when you move from New York City to upstate New York. But a friend of mine also noticed this when planning her wedding in Brooklyn. This creeping concern drove itself home when I started messaging wedding venues for small weddings up and down the Hudson Valley and into the Catskills. I messaged about 19, sending a friendly note with a little about me and about why Carl and I liked the venue. I also inquired about dates and pricing packages. If I use my email instead of a website form, I use the personal email I use for non-work professional purposes. At the bottom was a signature with contact information and a link to my LinkedIn. I heard back from five solidly, inviting us for a venue visit. Two didn't work out because we couldn't possibly hit our respectively 15K and 25K minimum food and beverage with so small a wedding. Two promised to call back. Three said they couldn't host our dates. The rest were radio silence. With 2 to 3 weeks silence from the callbackers and silent types, I reached out again. Nothing. Then we did something I both wish we hadn't, but I'm kind of glad we did. Thinking that perhaps a guy reaching out would get some novel looks, if not responses, I used Carl's email to reach out to venues. Yes, we have access to each other's emails and phones. Uncommon, I know. I thought maybe my email had gotten lost in the mix. Maybe a man reaching out would be a refreshing change of pace. I was amused, but didn't think it would make a difference. Nonetheless, we used the exact email language from my emails, just swapping out fiancé with one E for fiancé with two E's and subbing in a blurb on him for the bit I'd written about myself. I sent messages to the 14 that either not gotten back or said they couldn't accommodate. The difference was stark. 8 got back to him in 4 days or fewer, sending over their packages and friendly messages. 2 that couldn't host now could. The 2 that promised to call me back rang him within 3 days. Part of me wants to give the benefit of the doubt here. Another, as Carl and many of our friends have underscored, sees the writing on the wall. I don't doubt that some venue coordinators do a little recon on inquiries. Even if those venues were down to have a wedding for Carl, but not for me, did I really want to entertain it? It's strange that on this most celebratory of occasions to encounter such exclusion in these two veins. In the bird's eye view, discrimination has identifiable economic costs for both sides, but on a personal note, it just feels like shit. As a woman of color, I have been primed to expect a certain number of indignities in my day-to-day life, particularly in an interracial relationship, and especially in a profession where an afro and nose ring doesn't knee-jerk scream lawyer for the state. There, I've been lucky to be surrounded above and below by love and support, and armed with a fuck-it-let's-do-this attitude and a type A personality. The good kind? In the end, Spillian was not only one of the 5 that got back to me, but my top choice and run by the most wonderfully welcoming and lovely couple. Even so, I almost feel boxed in because of the circumstances. I truly didn't anticipate navigating the contours of exclusion and discrimination in wedding planning. I'm hopeful that you two could speak a little on this. Thank you for all that you do. With love and gratitude, Felicia Reed.
Oh my gosh. Every time I listen, I write down like different notes.
Yeah. And every time I listen, I get like chills and then I get angry and then I'm like, yep, yep, yep. It's just, anyway, Felicia's, it was just amazing that you wrote to us and thank you for your kind words and, insane, right? Mind blowing.
Yeah.
Mind
blowing. Thank you for being so thorough, in the description of her experience, your experience, Felicia, and also the experiment that you did.
Thank you for doing that.
With your partner reaching out as well, which was obviously so insightful, I guess we can say. We learned a lot from that.
For sure.
So when Felicia mentioned that she doesn't basically see Black brides being represented when she's on all these websites and wedding planning, we were hit with the idea that there's really two sides of this discrimination and representation within the wedding industry. There's what industry professionals are putting out and what industry professionals are experiencing within the industry. And that's what Michelle and I can speak to, of course, on a certain level, but then also what brides or grooms, anybody planning their wedding, experiences from the outside. And when I say that Michelle and I experience things from a certain level inside, it just means that we are aware of problems and, you know, maybe sort of a lazy racism, I guess, when it comes to down to like exactly what is put out there. Because like Felicia said, Black people get married and we know that our listeners are a diverse group. So we thought we should just dive in and talk about it all. And we needed a little help.
Yes. So we called in another professional, someone that we have known for a very long time, because she is now on her 17th season of wedding planning. Tamara Jones is a longtime wedding planning colleague, and we started our businesses just around the same time, which is forever ago. and damn it, we're still going. So there you go. Good for you, Tamara.
Tamara Jones, I'm going to read your bio real quick, and then we'll welcome you with open voices. Okay. Tamara Jones is a planner by heart and a lover of life. Tamara is obsessed with the details and celebrating love. She's best known for her love of color. Purple is her favorite, and her attention to detail. For the better part of her adult life, Tamara has been contributing to the creative event space, and she has an extensive background in event production. She started her career after college in broadcasting, producing events for radio stations and concerts in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is where we all met. Tamara J Events was launched in 2002 with the intent to provide clients with an awesome guest experience from beginning to end. Her clients understand that behind every event is a good design, attention to detail, and a lot of love. In Tamara's book, Love is Infinite, and it's always the goal to make sure the event reflects her clients and their love for each other. When not producing weddings and events, Tamara loves to cook and entertain friends. There's always Chardonnay and champagne in the fridge and a new recipe to try. Oh, you're after my heart, Tamara. She starts every day with a focused word and from that shares encouragement on her daily Facebook post. She titles Wheels Up. Tamara is also slightly obsessed with shoes and handbags, but what girl isn't? I love your Wheels Up posts.
Yes. We got to start the day off right.
Yes.
What's your word today, Tamara?
Affinity.
Affinity. Can you talk about it briefly?
Affinity is having love for things, but not being overwhelmed by them.
Ooh. Wow.
People also talk about affinity in terms of like a talent, right? Like, oh, he has a real affinity for.
Yes. I mean, usually when they talk about it in a talent, it's something that they haven't risen to yet. They haven't realized their
potential. Oh, like it's potential.
There's a potential there.
Nice. Like you were born with it and now you have to work at it.
Yeah.
Well, I have an affinity for being awesome then, I guess.
See?
I just have to keep working at it.
You got to keep working at it.
Tamara, yes. I just was on an airplane a couple of days ago, and when I was with the boys, my kids, and when we were walking on the, there was this giant sign for the guys that were moving the ramp on and off, and it just said "Wheels Up," and I was like, I gotta take a picture of that and send it to Tamara, but I didn't because my kids had my phone. But it reminded me of you, so you're everywhere.
That's
everywhere
a good thing. That's there a good is thing. Aircraft. The whole intention of it is start every day thinking about something positive.
Oh, I love it.
Well,
I need to do that right now when I'm in the thick of this wedding season and I'm just like going crazy. You know, Tamara, can you just text me every morning? Can you give me your word?
Girl, we have to pray about these weddings every day.
Yeah, I know.
So, Tamara, we called you in as a woman of color. And I never wanted it to seem like, Tamara, we need help. We are not women of color.
We're not black,
yeah.
Tamara.
We need help to answer this question because I want it to be a conversation, but I also thought we, Michelle and I actually can't speak to everything that you can. That seems really obvious, but it's something that we shouldn't like tiptoe around.
Well, that's
like
what
your experiences every day are different than ours.
Well, that's what inclusion is having a conversation that's a little bit uncomfortable, but that's how we're going to learn from each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what did that email, we sent you the email text and then we've listened to it now with you a couple times, but what are your takeaways and thoughts about it?
First of all, I appreciate that she had the courage to do the experiment because 9 times out of 10, you don't want to really do the experiment. And by experiment, I mean, put your person of color in a white box to see if you get the same result. Mm-hmm. That is the hardest thing that we ever do. And we always do it with the mindset of hope. I hope that I'm proven wrong. I hope that this isn't what I think it is. But it always ends up being exactly what you thought it was.
Right. And that could be even like a phone call, you know, like, hey, white friend, you try calling this customer service.
And we do that.
Yeah.
And then the difference is glaring. Mm-hmm. And you have to then kind of put your emotions back together because it's like a sledgehammer hitting you.
Oh.
And I had to do that experiment in my own business.
Right.
Obviously, I'm a black woman. And I used to have my picture on my website. And someone mentioned to me, hey, have you ever thought that that impedes your business? What are you talking about? And so I did the experiment.
And
I took my picture off my website. And within 30 days, I had booked my highest paying client to date.
Ooh. So that's interesting. So you think, or actually it was proven in sorts, that that initial visual or non-visual opened you up to more business, that people were calling you?
Absolutely.
What year was it? Do you remember when this was that you took that picture off? I'm just curious.
I took my picture off in 2008.
Okay.
And
you started in 01, right?
Started in 2002.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, I was solidly booked for 2008, 2009, 2010.
Because people were reading your website and they were seeing your experience and they were seeing your gallery and they're like, this is an amazing right. wedding planner.
Now, obviously, you pick up the phone to me and it's clear that I'm a Black woman, mm-hmm. but I was getting to the phone call.
Right. That's a huge step for these inquiries for us.
Right. If we get to the phone call, then we can have a conversation and a dialogue and we can sell ourselves and our mm-hmm. experience. But if you never get to the phone call, you can never get booked. And I've only recently put my picture back on my website because at this point in my career, you either know that I'm Black and deal with it head on or you don't.
And you don't.
Right. Or maybe you don't want to work with them.
Right.
Well, I taking a broader view also of what Felicia wrote when she said in so many words that she's used to being a Black woman. Certain indignities every day,
yes.
but that she wasn't necessarily expecting discrimination to pop up in the wedding planning process. And both of those parts of that sentiment I jotted down and kind of were an alarm bell for me. One, that anybody is just used to dealing with indignities. And two, that she was surprised about the wedding industry. And I think I wanted to hear what you think about that. Like, why do you think somebody would be surprised? Is it because we assume weddings are their own industry and they don't have issues that other industries would? Like, because we're all about love and
exactly.
we're mostly women run.
And it's mostly women run and it's very frilly and delicate and beautiful and glamorous. And so you don't think that all of the other stuff that happens in your regular world happens in the wedding world. It's like this little bubble
right. mm-hmm.
that people think that as long as it's in the wedding world, it doesn't really exist anywhere else.
And so, it'll be different. My experience will be different.
My experience will be different.
Okay.
And then you go to the wedding websites and you're looking for people that look like you because we get married too. But statistics say that 40% of Black women never get married.
Really?
Yes. And if we've been married and get divorced, we're only 22% likely to get remarried.
I did not know that. What does that even, what does that mean? What does that tell us? Explain it.
So as little girls, we are not seeing images of our families getting married and our
giant wedding parties.
Right. The biggest thing we ever saw as kids was the middle section of the Jet magazine, and they would show real weddings. That's the only place you got to see Black people in wedding attire.
You know, I think that's where the first lesbian wedding was also published.
In Jet magazine.
Yep.
And so we grow up with that dynamic, and then you don't see yourself as a representation in the modern stream of bridal world. You don't see bridal magazines that feature Black models. You don't see bridal magazines or bridal websites that feature Black couples. Or if you do see a Black bride, usually it's an interracial couple, or you rarely see her with her natural hair texture, or an advertisement about her skin or her makeup. So there's a lot of things that we don't see as representation in the bridal world. So when you start shopping for the things that you're going to need for your wedding, your wedding planner, your photographer, your caterer, your blah, 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 all of those things, you intrinsically are going to look for things that look like you. But then when you don't see them and you're not, and you all of a sudden realize you're not represented it's a hard pill to swallow because then you don't know what to do.
There's no reinforcement that you too, quote, deserve this or can have this or be a part of this.
Absolutely. And showing up sometimes at venues as a person of color is a challenge. You know, they talk to you on the phone and da-da-da-da-da, and then you get there, and then the reaction is a little stiffer. It's a little different, and you see it playing in front of you.
As a planner and?
As a planner and as a couple.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you realize this has now creeped into the world you thought you were in a bubble for.
That the wedding industry is actually basically no, we're not higher or more elevated in terms of representation and discrimination and all of that than anyone else,
exactly.
Any other industry.
And, you know, and then it comes down to, okay, let me take a deep breath. Let me regroup, because it's that indignity again that you're now faced with that you have to figure out how to pull it back together, and you can cry in the car. Mm.
Yeah, I just want to stop and pause there because just going into a venue with a couple, keeping focused, asking the right questions, also trying to make contact with the venue, you know, people, create relationships, help the couple, see it as, is this a potential for the wedding, and just keep focused in that way is the main goal, and it's hard enough to do. And then on top of it, you got to walk in going, okay, so this is happening.
And get your armor on.
Or try to ignore it. I mean, that must be hard as hell because, I mean, I would be like, what the fuck? What is wrong with you? Like,
where? Oh, I say it mentally all the time. I say it mentally all the time.
Well,
Or you're not what they expected. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, and they'll tell you.
Let us look at the dates again. Maybe we're not available.
Right. They'll tell you, oh, we must have misspoke. We're not available.
See, I kind of lived in my own lane with this as a planner, working with same-sex and gay couples and transgender couples, you know, all of the LGBTQ, all of the letters for weddings. But when you write an email and if my client is looking into something and he just signs it David, he doesn't put in parentheses, by the way, I'm marrying Roger and we're a gay couple. Sometimes they do because they want to just skirt the issue from the very beginning. Like, let's just get it out there so we can move around it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to look up David's LinkedIn, you know, maybe see a picture of him, like Felicia said, some people did for hers. You're not wearing what can be discriminated against necessarily. And I thought that I kind of like over-focused maybe in my own life about like, oh, gay couples are the ones that are getting turned away from venues and cake bakers don't want to make their cakes. And it is a big deal and marriage equality and all that. But it was only 30 years ago that, you know, full interracial relationships were even legal in all of the states in America. And the fight is not over. Like, it's not over.
And it took the Supreme Court to make that happen.
Nuts. It's just nuts. And so Felicia saying that she was like, oh, they're saying they're booked. And then now suddenly when my partner emails, they're not booked. It made me, I wrote down like sexism question, racism question.
And sexism probably, I mean, there is that as well, because you did a few minutes ago talk about the wedding industry mainly being women. But I feel like most venues are male dominated. I feel like
they clearly took a man's email more seriously.
They're owned by men, or like the venue person is a man showing you. Like, it's often that's where you see the most male presence, I feel like, is at venues. Would you agree, ladies?
Not for me in wine country. Maybe the ownership is male.
Wine country. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The ownership might be male, but the presence
management
is female.
So there's one thing that I want to do here, and that is this. Like, this is a problem. It affects those, you know, it's difficult. It hurts. It's wrong. It's totally fucked up, right? But what I want to do also is focus on what you listening right now, and what we as wedding professionals can do. You know, what is our responsibility here? And what are some actions that can be taken? You know, like, what should we be doing? And I also know that a big discussion, is social media, right? Because social media is so ever present and so important right now in with business. And so difficult as individuals wanting to be accepted and liked and all these things, right? So I want to talk about social media, and I want to talk about, as a business person, and I want to talk about as a person out there getting married, what can we do?
Tamara, if you could wave a magic wand for wedding planners and photographers for our social media, what would you?
I'd honestly, to goodness gracious, say represent the people that are your best clients. And it should be a myriad of representation. You should have people of all colors, all shapes, all sizes. You should have the big girl that's marrying the skinny guy, the big guy that's marrying the skinny girl, the black girl, the white girl, the Asian girl, because that should be a representation of who you service. Now, if you only show all white people, that's all I'm going to think that you do. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to refer you to an ethnic client. I'm never, because that's all you know how to show. And what I see in the industry is, especially in these Facebook groups and stuff where people are looking for a referral for this vendor or that vendor or this creative partner or not, you'll see that, all of these people chime in and then you look at their work and there's no representation. Mm-hmm. So how do I know that you can shoot somebody with brown skin? How do I know that you know how to light our skin tones? Black, brown, yellow, Asian, Indian, whatever. Our skin tones require different things. How do I know that you're going to be able to light that same person standing next to a Caucasian person if you're not showing that in your representation of work? So I think being more conscious of what you're showing, your capabilities of, will help us diversify the pool.
Absolutely, because it's visual. When you're looking for a vendor, you're going to their website, you're looking at their photos. You're going to their Instagram, you're looking at their photos. So yeah, that's your first exposure to potential clients.
It's interesting that you note the unsexy stuff, I guess, like the logistics, like lighting and how to shoot and makeup and things like that are obvious to you. Of course, I wasn't even thinking about it that way. I was thinking you need to go to those vendors that have the full representation, because it means that they're good people who like to work with everyone and are inclusive and, open and progressive and like putting themselves out there, and they just love working with people. But it's not just that.
It's not just that. Okay. Because what happens is the underbelly of it, they all want the job, but they're not willing to put it out there that they know how to do the job.
Or that they have done, all of those weddings. They still don't put it on their website. Maybe a photographer or planner, if we're talking about that, don't put it on the website because there's some basically discriminatory idea that if you put it out there, then those are the weddings you're going to attract, and they're not the ones you want the most. You'll take them, but you're not actively seeking them out.
You'll take the money, but you don't want to put it out there in the universe.
That's so interesting and awful.
And as we continue the dialogue, we have to start asking people those questions up front, because our clients are going to ask us those questions up front. I get asked all the time, have you done an Indian wedding? Yes, I have. I've done this, 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 that, and the other. And I need to be able to explain to them that I understand their culture and what they expect to happen at their weddings.
Right.
That's a given. Have I ever done a same-sex wedding? Absolutely. And I explain the situations that I've been in, the clients that I've had, blah, 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 blah.
And you can point to pictures.
And I can point to pictures. And I can point to pictures on my social media. And I can point to pictures that I'm not afraid to show anybody that I've worked with. And so that keeps me accountable to my potential clients, as well as my past clients. But as we continue the dialogue, how do we make it better and more inclusive? We got to start pulling coattails on people that aren't being inclusive.
One way that couples can do that is by, even if you are a straight, cisgendered white couple, and I've heard from many of this type of couple out there, I know you're listening, if that's your makeup, you can still aim to hire vendors that have diverse social media, diverse clients, speak to equality, even if it doesn't directly affect you. I mean, I've had many straight couples say they want to say something about marriage equality in their ceremony because of all the people that they love in their life that are going to be there and that it would be meaningful to, and because it means something about the institution of marriage. But it doesn't actually affect their marriage because they're, you know, a man and a woman. But we also have clients who say, like, I want to hire people who are really good about being inclusive and diverse on their websites and social media.
And I will say this, we have to, as professionals, work a little harder at changing the industry image of what weddings look like. The top wedding planners every year are the same 15 people.
Yeah.
And there's never a person of color in that field.
And these are the influencers and the power players, and it's like it's its own self-propelling machine.
Exactly.
The more conferences they speak at, the more they get into the magazines, the more magazines, the more TV shows, the more TV shows, the more conferences. And so it's like we're inundated with, like you said, the same maybe dozen, 15 people.
Exactly.
And what they're putting out there is considered the top of the top. So if all of their clients, for the most part, are beautiful white people, then that's considered like the top of the pyramid. And that's not the way it should be. And that's not representative of everyone getting married.
And I think that that's what our problems trickle down from. And the smaller magazines and the smaller publications try to replicate that same imagery. And, you know, when blush was in, everybody did blush. And now everybody did bohemian. And now everybody's doing the circle centerpiece at the altar. Oh, my God, if I see another one of those.
The what?
You know, the circle backdrop behind the altar.
Oh, yeah.
The hoop. Now everybody thinks, oh, we've got to get a circle. No, we did that 2 years ago.
It's all about, it's just, you know what? I mean, it's really authenticity comes to mind when you say that, because everybody wants to do what they think looks good and what's trending and all these things. And really, like, if we just brought authenticity to every aspect of life, but also to weddings,
you got to do you. That,
and do you. Yeah. And trickle into your business. Like, just don't worry. It's hard to say. I mean, I'm saying it right now, but I worry about it all the time. Does my website look good? Am I going to get, I need to get, you know, more followers on social media. That's going to drive more business to me. But you can do it trying to be yourself, right? Like being authentic to yourself. And maybe, you know, so I don't want to push and say, like, you need to have pictures of Black people on your website. And if you don't, you are not good at what you do, or you're not being a good person. But just maybe stop thinking about what people want to see and just kind of put out there what you're doing. And is what you're doing being inclusive? And is what you're doing the right thing? Like, open your mind and just, I don't know, I'm on this rant that now I'm like, thinking about myself and like thinking about
people really have to be open. And I think that that's really the crux of what inclusivity is. if I'm a white couple and I'm getting married in San Francisco and I hire a black photographer or I hire a Cuban musician for my ceremony, and there's so much talent in the world that it doesn't all have to look like you, but it has to represent you.
Yeah. What we're interested in and what we see beauty in and what we see meaning in. And that should come through in our work.
Exactly.
I think people can see that too when Felicia is looking at, you know, now she has her venue, maybe next is looking at different photographers or DJs or, you know, a bartending service. And there's going to be certain websites that pop out and speak to her in that first like giant, you know, search that people do. For a lot of different reasons, maybe the words that they use or the photos that are on the site, but being authentic and being able to, when she calls that photographer, being able to think, oh, the phone call matched what I saw on the site. This is all, we're all on the up and up here.
Right.
Like, I'm not surprised by anything. This is what I expected. This is what I wanted him or her to sound like and tell me about how he works on wedding days or whatever questions we, you know, you might ask if you're planning your wedding. We want you to find the best vendors for your wedding. We talk about that a lot, but we know that when you Google something, you're searching, it's just this massive search. So it might be nice to kind of focus on whose websites in that first look have people that look like you or have copy that speaks to you. And then go from there as kind of a sifting mechanism.
And I also think as we, because we've all known each other a long time, so we know how to pick up the phone to each other if we need something or whatever. But a lot of people in the industry don't necessarily know how to do that. And I think if they were more open to reaching across color and cultural lines, if they've booked a wedding that they're not necessarily familiar with the culture or the ethnicity of the person, reach out to somebody who is and ask for referrals instead of trying to find them on your own and maybe presenting your clients with somebody who cannot handle your hair or your makeup. Because that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's a great tip. The referrals from vendor to vendor, but also from, let's say, client to vendor. Like, Michelle, have you looked at our Facebook group lately?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the last couple of days, there's been an ongoing discussion. People are trying to find hair and makeup artists, and it's a certain city or region. But I think the initial person posted about, like, I need somebody who can work with really curly hair.
I just learned about this from, I'm doing a wedding. The wedding I'm doing tomorrow is going to be this Nigerian wedding, which I'm super excited about. Tamara, have you done a Nigerian?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's going to be my first one. But I was talking to the hairstylist, and she was talking about, what'd she say, C4?
Oh, hair? Yeah, no. So, so it's our curl pattern.
Yes.
Yes.
She was telling me all about it, and I was like, oh my God. In fact, I was like, I feel like we need to have an episode just about hair. Because this was fascinating to me. I didn't know.
Yeah, so our curl pattern is dedicated by category. And if you don't know how to work with a 4C, I have 4C hair. If you don't know how to work with it, you cannot touch my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to pull it out or you're going to burn it up.
Wow.
So it runs the gambit, and you need to be able to work with every, if you can work with 4C, you can work with anything.
Well, and she said, I can work from 4C with 4C hair. I can work with any curls. I can work with Latina hair. I can work with white hair. I can work with any hair. And I was like, I'm Mexican, half Portuguese, right? I'm like, oh, I've got like thick hair, but it's straight. It's a little wavy. But like, I had no idea about the different curl patterns.
Yes.
And this woman that posted on our site, I think she's a white, and I think she's Jewish. Well, I know she's Jewish. They're having a Jewish wedding with very thick, curly hair. And her question was like about hair and makeup artist, but other people didn't have specific recommendations. What they said was find photographers in your area or region or city, whether you've hired a photographer or not, and look at their photos. And then when they tag hair and makeup, that is who you should go look at.
Exactly.
So it's a huge circle.
I have to, she should, I should send her the stylist I'm working with this weekend, because they'll fly anywhere, you know?
Yes, but of course. And it was just interesting to see all these other brides, it's mostly brides on our Facebook group, chime in with hints about how to find hair and makeup artists. But the overall answer, they didn't even realize that they're saying this, but the answer is look for representation. If you love if you see photographers, whether you like their work or not, look at the brides that they're shooting and see what hair and makeup artists they've tagged. So this speaks to what you're saying, Tamara, is another way that we should all be posting our best weddings and our best work and our best clients and all of that. We should be posting and then tagging and linking to the vendors we were working with.
Exactly.
Because that opens people's field of who they may hire.
Yeah.
And it's just being conscious of the differences that we have. At every wedding I have, especially if it's weddings of color, for people of color, I have, sunscreen and all of those things, but I also have Vaseline. I also have cocoa butter. I have the things that we would normally have in our own pantry at home, in our amenities basket in the bathroom.
Or your emergency kit.
Right, or my emergency kit. And I have Band-Aids in a myriad of colors, ladies.
Oh, I love that post. That post that went viral a couple months ago. I'm sure you saw it. The grown man who showed a picture of a Band-Aid on his skin. And the post was like, who would have thought a Band-Aid would make a grown man cry? But this is the first one that I've ever put on that actually matches
me.
I was like, so struck by that.
You'd be
amazed.
How
much I take for granted.
You'd be amazed when you found brown Band-Aids. It's like, hallelujah.
I have to put that in my kit. I
do too. Where are you finding
them? Regular old Band-Aids.
Walmart, Target, CVS. But you got to be looking for them.
Yeah. All right. So I want to kind of round things out and, wrap up with some, surefire ways that we can be responsible as industry professionals and, how couples can support diversity in the industry. And, we talked about social media, we talked about authenticity, we talked about putting photos on your website that are representative of everyone. Now I've got the brown Band-Aids. So I'm gonna go back.
And also we talked about how brave Felicia was and how happy we are that Felicia, she actually called it out.
I feel like we need a follow-up from you too, Felicia. What's going on? I need to know what's going on. Yeah.
I would love to know how she found her, or if she's found her hair and makeup, because that process is going to be different. She's going to look for people that exclusively look like her.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Or would she be open to doing the experiment, the reverse, and seeing how Caucasian vendors would approach her?
Hmm.
Because that would be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
But going forward, how do we stay positive? We just got to keep moving one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, there's a lot of strife in our country right now. So it's our job, it's our jobs to put out the good stuff and keep, like you said, one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, as long as we're going in the right direction.
Exactly.
Be open, be conscious of it all. Look into maybe when you're out there planning and you are Caucasian, look for vendors that have, African-American or Latinos or Asian people on their website. Look for that. Seek those out.
What's going to happen? People, all shapes and sizes. We have to we have to embrace like how far we've come, but there's so much farther we can go.
Exactly.
You know, we fall into these boxes with wedding planning, and we talk about it all the time. You're looking at your budget, you're looking at your style, and that's what you're thinking about mostly. But let's what happens if we broaden what we're looking for? And like you said, look for inclusivity, whether it's race, color, sex, or body type. What if we just looked for vendors that way for our wedding?
Could you imagine the talent pool?
Yeah.
And also, like we said at the beginning of this conversation, let's not let sort of the awkwardness maybe, or the way we kind of tiptoe around things, prevent us from having conversations with our friends of yes. color, our mentors of color, people we respect and we want to reach out to. I want to do that more myself, like to open the doors and get a clearer perspective, just like some of what Felicia said surprised me and maybe it shouldn't have. And some of what Tamara's brought up has made me think like, oh yeah, I never actually looked at it that way. And I wouldn't know that unless we'd had these conversations. So we feel strongly that we should continue the dialogue and the discussion and be inclusive, even if it is
painful.
Maybe a little bit awkward to get started or painful.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's important to be uncomfortable, people. It's very important. Well, all right. I feel like that's a good note to end on. Tamara, do you have anything else that you want to add?
No, I think we did a good job, ladies.
We did a good job. I hope so, you guys.
You're the best. We are so grateful that we were able to do this with all the like rescheduling and re-recording and all of it. We love you.
No worries. Thank you. I love you guys. I do want you to think of this, though, just in your own businesses.
Okay.
If they're in groups, start looking at certain people who are saying things, but not really saying things, because I think we need to be a little bit more conscious about what vendors we're bringing on our teams that maybe are not really truly inclusive. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So I have started going through people's social media and seeing what they're really posting before I bring them onto my team.
Dig a little deeper?
Yes. Because I've been yeah. shocked by some things in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, my wig was blown back.
It was unbelievable.
Yes. I was like, oh, I can't hire you. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I'm so bad at that. I am so bad at Googling people, and I'm so bad at
vetting
that type. Yeah. Like, for example, okay, I'm just going to, I just noticed that the photographer I'm working with this weekend is a very popular photographer, like award-winning. I didn't know that. I've been just emailing. And you know what though? Sometimes I'm like, that shouldn't dictate how I'm going to communicate with this person, because he's a human being just like me.
Right.
But then at the same time, I was like, oh, shit, this guy is like seriously legit. This guy's really, really good.
So let me,
or, yeah.
Let me tell you about your Nigerian wedding, though, that you got to be prepared for.
Yes, please. Thank
okay,
you.
So the gifts, when they give the gifts, you got to be careful because they will grab 2 and 3 and 4. So I typically put them close to the head table because it's the way that, and it'll direct them to go say thank you to the bride and groom and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Because that's what's supposed to happen as they get their gift.
Can you explain that tradition real quick and how that works?
They're supposed to thank the bride and groom for their presence and for them to allow them to be present at their nuptials. And
okay.
So that's when they get their favor or whatever, and then they say thank you to the bride and groom. Then there's the money dance. So if they're going to do a change of clothes, usually they yes. change clothes after like midway through the reception, and then they'll come back in their like Nigerian attire, and they have somebody that's a friend of the family or whatever who usually is the MC of that portion.
Yes, we have him. We have an MC. And oh, just that portion. Okay, yeah.
So, well, yeah, typically he's the MC for the Nigerian portion of the night.
Yeah, he's doing everything. You know, so we're having two ceremonies. We're going to do a Nigerian ceremony, then we're going to do a cocktail hour, and then we're going to do a Western ceremony.
And then they'll probably
because the
change.
Groom is Caucasian. The groom, yeah. So it's going to be a huge, beautiful mix of people, and it's going to be it's really meshing two cultures, two traditions.
Well, when they do the money dance, if you don't already have it, don't let them give you those little bitty bags because
too hard to stuff all the dollars in there.
Yeah, you got to get. I would recommend having pillowcases.
She didn't tell me that they would do a money dance. We don't have that in the schedule. Do you think they'll do that? They'll just throw it in?
Yes, I would be prepared for that.
Sometimes the aunt.
Oh my God, I'm going to grab a pillowcase right now.
Aunts and moms, right, Tamara? They can just
it's the
throw
whole,
it at you.
They invite everybody onto the dance floor, and all the guests are just throwing money.
Wait, throwing?
Yeah, they throw it in the air, and like it rains money over the bride and groom.
Like a pinata. What?
So do I have to go around and should I go around and catch it right away, or
yes.
Should I let them do it and then? Oh my God, I didn't know this, Tamara.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Be prepared, because they will give you like the little bags, and that's just stupid.
I'm literally going to grab a pillowcase when we hang up.
My last
and put
one,
it in my
They got $120,000.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow. That is serious. I mean, we do money dance. We used to do money dance for Mexican weddings, but they pin it on you.
Yeah, they're not pinning it. They're like at the strip club, like flipping it.
Making it rain.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
They got $120,000 because we had to gather it all up and count it.
Oh my God, put it in a safe. What are you going to do with that while you're in the middle of a...
We did put it in a safe, but we had to count it in front of everybody.
Oh my gosh.
Right. So we were...
What do you mean in front of everybody? In front of the guests?
We were off to the side in the reception space counting the money.
We want to make sure they're not pocketing any of it.
Yes.
$120,000 in 20s. Yowzas.
Oh. Oh boy.
All right, well,
dollars,
that's exciting.
$5, $10, $100 bills, you name it.
Keep us posted on that, Michelle.
I know. And you know what? She's a listener. That's how she found me. She's a listener of this podcast,
oh,
Nika,
that's awesome.
If you're listening. Yeah.
Yes. So just be prepared because there's a lot of things that they don't tell you that happen on the day of.
Well, I've thought that, you know, and she's told me a few things like typically Nigerians start late, like they're not on time. And, you know, there's a looseness to this planning.
All you have to do is tell them that there's a late fee later in the night. The later you go, they'll hurry up.
Oh yeah. Well, this venue, we actually have the whole thing's ending at 8 o'clock at night actually, and that's it. It's like a hard stop. So that'll be interesting. But there is definitely a looseness to this planning process. And I came in for month of, and I came in going, whoa, oh my, it's been challenging. But I'm so excited to see everything on Saturday, especially like people I've spoken to are like, Michelle, it's going to be beautiful, the colors. And then, you know, somebody's got to come in and do her head wrap. She's,
yes.
You know, and then she's changing her hair.
And they got to wrap her in her dress.
Yeah.
And so, and everybody will have on coral, like necklaces of coral. So that's like their bling.
Awesome. Well,
oh my God.
Good thing you have a world famous photographer to get all these.
It's going to be a lot all over the, you're going to be like, where are all these people? What is all of this? You're going to feel like you've stepped into another world. And every time I do one, I'm like, And then when they change clothes, they all look different. So you have to you have to concentrate on their faces to be like, did I talk? Yeah, I talked to you already today. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited. It's something new for me. And I'm really excited to be a part of this because I've done a lot of cultural weddings, but never Nigerian. So I'm stoked.
Well, now you can put that in your pin hat.
I sure can. All right, Tamara, thank you so, so, so much. We appreciate you. And
okay, you ladies rock. And let me know if you need anything else.
What's the word again today? Tell me again.
Affinity.
Affinity. All right. Affinity. All right. And then Felicia Reed, thank you so much for emailing us. Please keep us updated on what you and Carl's wedding plans are and how that has evolved. And yeah, go ahead, Christy, do your thing.
Yes, here's how you find us. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are at TBWP Podcast. That's right. I said Twitter. Tweet, y'all.
Tweet.
We are on Instagram, and that's at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and we use the hashtag Plan That Wedding. We would love you listeners to send us photos of your wedding or your, you know, engagement or proposal or wedding planning process, and we will share it and tag and send you love. And we search for that hashtag too, Plan That Wedding, so we can say hi to y'all. Also, we have a Facebook group that is a community group. You have to ask to be approved in, but it's a really great group of listeners that help each other. We've talked about it in this episode already. If you want to email us, our email, I said that already, but if you want to do consulting, that's the way to get in touch with us. Michelle and I both offer consulting, and it's a great way to take a deep dive into your wedding planning quandaries and conundrums if you have them. Also, we have a Patreon page. We have several new patrons recently. We love you so much. I've emailed all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Any of you that can support us on Patreon, patreon.com. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We appreciate it. And we would love to see you there. We also have a phone number.
415-723-1625. Give us a call.
That's it. Wheels up.
Wheels up.
All right, everybody. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Love you. Bye, y'all.
Love you.
Bye.